Hey, greetings, everyone. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West here, and welcome to the Steadfast and Loyal podcast. You gotta light 'em up before they burn it down. Better dig deep, put 'em in the ground. But on their hands, they're hellbound.
Before they burn it down.
So here's the Alan West version, Watchtower Firearms, BDRX. You can see it has the Steadfast and Loyal podcast logo on it. And on this side, you've got, you know, my actual digitized signature and my Army Master Parachutist wings. And of course, you got to have the American flag. And again, I mean, this is such an incredibly light weapon. I mean, I just can't believe it. And I like the skeletized design. And this flash suppressor here is unique. They make it here at Watchtower, and it actually reduces the rise of the weapon when you fire it. So I'm just looking forward, and Magpul hard sights, and I think I'll keep hard sights on this, but I'm looking forward to taking it out here and shooting it and zeroing it in. And I love the skeletized hand grip here. And of course, you got the extendable, you know, butt stop, but And I prefer this forward hand grip, you know, more than anything else. I really like this. So here it is, you know, right up there next with Rob O'Neill. It's hard to believe that, but that's why America's such a great country. Where a kid born in the inner city of Atlanta, Georgia, can have an AR-15 designed by him and with his signature on it, limited edition. So check out their website, WatchtowerFirearms.com. If you want, you can purchase one of these. Hey, greetings, everyone. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, and welcome back to the Steadfast and Loyal podcast. You know, one of the things that I've always believed that constitutional conservatives, you can say Republican Party, but really constitutional conservatives have not focused a lot on our local level elections, city council, school boards. I mean, now they're starting to get the picture about the school boards, the county commissions, things of this nature. You know, city councils are very important because that is a level of governance that immediately touches you. And here in the North Texas area, one of the fastest growing places, not just in Texas, but across the country, is Frisco, Texas. I mean, you go out to Frisco, Texas. I mean, when I moved back here 10 years ago, well, it's hardly anything. But now it is just absolutely exploded to the point where PGA National, a place that I know very well in South Florida, is moving to Frisco, Texas. That tells you something. Universal Parks Studio is going to have a park built in Frisco, Texas. So I thought we'd take time to talk to someone that is running for a city council position there in Frisco, and that's Mark Pieland. And Mark is a public safety consultant and former fire chief for the city of Frisco, Texas. Previously, Mark served as the fire chief for Volusia County Fire Service in Volusia County, Florida, which is Daytona Beach.
Oh, yes,
I'm
sir.
Sure you got to go see the Daytona 500 a few times.
A couple times I did.
Yeah.
I sure did.
And as a shift commander in operations for the Virginia Beach Fire Department in Virginia Beach, Virginia, he also served 16 years on the Virginia Task Force 2, a FEMA Urban Search and Rescue Team as a plans chief, task force leader, East Coast task force leader representative, as well as incident support team leader for the federal USNR system with deployments to the Pentagon during 9/11, Hurricane Katrina, and 2010 earthquake in Haiti. Mark is currently running for Frisco City Council, place number one. Mark, thanks for being here with us.
Thank you, sir.
Steadfast and Loyal podcast. What an incredible extensive background in emergency management operations and fire. How do you think that helps you, especially you've been the fire chief there in Frisco, in preparing for this run as city councilman?
Well, I think for me, and first of all, thanks for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here. Sort of honored. I think, you know, local government experience, I think, is very important. Mm-hmm. I've had over 43 years in local government. A lot of issues come before council. You know, they're all local government issues. And, you know, my job over the years has been serving people.
Yeah.
Fire department, that's what we do. And I think that's just an extension of the city council. It's about serving the people and the residents of Frisco. And I look forward to doing that. And I think my experience in the fire service and emergency management mm-hmm. is certainly just goes hand in glove to do that.
When you look, as I was talking about, the growth mm-hmm. of Frisco, mm-hmm. How has the council managed that growth, in your opinion?
You know, it's not easy, first of all, because the growth rate, there's almost anywhere from 800 to 1,000 people a month moving into the city.
800 to 1,000 a month.
I got here in 2013. Wow. There was 130,000 people. Been here 11 years, and we're just over 240,000 right now. Wow. I think, all in all, they've done a relatively good job. Mm-hmm. I think always there's areas of improvement. I think lately the issues are just listening to the residents as the growth is really exploding and really kind of sinking into their concerns that they have, what might be built around them, and probably listen to them a little bit more than they have.
The millage rate issue, I mean, mm-hmm. what has happened with the taxation issues there in Frisco since the time you moved back here to where we are today?
So they've actually had remained steady for a long time, and they had dropped it just over a penny at the last budget meeting, which is about $22 million back to the taxpayers. Mm-hmm. And they raised the homestead exemption as well to 12.5 to 15. So mm-hmm. they're 12.5. So their goal is to get 20.
Okay.
That's the goal. And I think the city will reach that goal. I do. I think, though, one of the things that would help them reach the goal is there's a lot of money that the EDC and the city is involved with giving to businesses that are relocating to Frisco. It's 17% of the land that's left to build upon. And I don't know that all those incentives are as necessary anymore.
Yeah.
I think people are going to come regardless. I think when you're a new city, sure, you've got to give those incentives. You want those Fortune 500 companies. You want the business. But I think now it's time to pull that money back, that could be used. That's tax money that we're not going to realize.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's personal property relief or infrastructure relief, it's just money the city won't have.
Yeah, because when you drive up Dallas North Tollway, I think they call it the billion-dollar mile.
It was at one time they did.
Yeah, I mean, you've got all of, I mean, mm-hmm. now you've got Toyota coming in there, Frito-Lay. Mm-hmm. Is it Liberty Mutual? I mean, all of these incredible headquarters there.
Yeah, that's just on the Plano side. But yeah, the Cowboys are certainly there.
Cowboys there with the Star.
Dr. Pepper is one of the Fortune 500 companies that's right mm-hmm. there across from the Star. Big developments. I think that's the main thing with me is, you know, a lot of times I guess my opponents want to characterize me as anti-big business development. I'm not. I've worked on every major project in Frisco in 10 years. I've worked on the Star, I've worked on Hall Park, I've worked on the PGA building, mm-hmm. I've worked on the Omni PGA, I've worked on all of them. All those plans review come through the fire department,
yeah.
through our plans review. I've sat down and met with almost all those developers at one time or another. So I'm very pro-development, but I'm also pro-people.
Yeah.
So I always say it's people over projects.
Yeah.
And my experience has been whenever there is a collision, something can be worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the key. My experience is I've sat down at the table many times with developers and some of their associates, architects. Well, now, they want to do certain things that we worked with them to make sure they're inside the code and that we can not only protect the citizens of Frisco, the residents, which is our priority,
yeah.
but also be developer friendly.
And Frisco has become a little bit of a sports hub, too.
It is. We have the Cowboys are there. The Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys are everything there to play their games.
Yeah.
Their practice fields are there. Their offices are there. We have the National Soccer Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Rough Riders that are there, team baseball.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for, you know, obviously the World Cup that's mm-hmm. coming in to Dallas. We believe that we'll be a team or two practicing in Frisco during that time that we'll host. Possibly no games, but a host some practicing and hosting sure. teams at the facility there. So it's a lot.
And you also have the Dallas Stars, the hockey team training facility there.
We do. Yeah. We have every sports team there. We also have the Legends, which is the Mavericks team. So mm-hmm. we have every sports team that represents national level teams in the city of Frisco.
So 5 to 10 years, I mean, what would you say is your vision for Frisco when you become city councilman?
Well, first of all, like I said, there's 17% left to build out. And I think public safety is big for us. I believe right now we need more staffing in public safety and police and fire. Our campaign has been endorsed by both the fire and police associations in Frisco, which I'm really honored about. To get their endorsement is huge for our campaign. Mm-hmm. I believe we need more staffing. We have to keep up with the growth. And the big challenge for Frisco is that, you know, land's being sold by the square foot, mm-hmm. not by the acre. So things are going up, mid-rise, high-rise. And if you take a call, 911 call, you know, you look at your response times, but that's just to the front door of a mid-rise or high-rise. You still got several minutes to get to
go up.
And to the folks that are calling 911. So it's important that we have enough staff to be able to handle those calls. And then after we build out, there's redevelopment. Mm-hmm. We're seeing that in Plano right now. The same thing's going to happen in Frisco. You're going to look at some retail that no longer is needed because of online delivery mm-hmm. and big box stores, and that's going to go away, and probably you will see residential building mm-hmm. because that's what sells, that's what people want. So that's going to add to the density, it's going to add to the population. We've got to make sure our services keep up with that.
You know, one of the big issues in Texas, as you well know, is the property tax issue. Mm-hmm. How big of that is that in Frisco?
You know, it is big. There's an old saying that the city manager used to have, you can have the lowest tax rate around, but you can't look like it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think Frisco has done a good job in keeping the tax rate low. I will say there's areas of the city, though, that are starting to show some wear and tear that need some addressing. Mm-hmm. There's this sentiment from people that live in Frisco, there's the east side versus the west side. The west side is where all the new things are, the PGA, the Omni, and whatnot. And the east side is not so much. And if you drive through there, you'll see some of the parks, some of the roads, some of the neighborhoods, a lot of medians don't look quite like they do on the west side. And there's some the bond money in there to address some of that, especially with the parks. But I think that's a challenge. Mm-hmm. New and shiny is great, mm-hmm. but you can't forget what you already have
on the ground. And that creates a us versus them.
It does, and unfortunately, that's starting to happen. There is some resentment to the folks that live on that side saying, hey, all the attention's on the west side, what about mm-hmm. us?
Yeah.
And you can't forget them.
No, you can't. Talk to us about your mm-hmm. campaign. I mean, mm-hmm. you previously ran for mayor.
I did.
And you did very well in that race, so I think you got name and face recognition. What do you see as the biggest obstacle when you talk about municipal level elections? We kind of talked about this off camera.
Yeah, I think the biggest obstacle is, and anytime you run against an incumbent, you know, the incumbent has the bully pulpit as far as council meetings. They have the support a lot of times of other incumbent and some of their followers and some of their outreach. But we're grassroots.
Yeah.
And although we're the challenger, we believe very strongly that our grassroots team that's helping us. We've got 13 precinct chairs in Denton County that have supported our campaign, mm-hmm. 7 or 8 in Collin County that Republican precinct chairs supported us. So we've got a lot of ground game going on. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the endorsement of public safety. So even though there is a challenge against incumbents, I believe that our ground is very strong. And I can't thank the precinct chairs enough. They're really the unsung heroes in any campaign, along with your campaign team that I have. It's the people that are knocking on doors every day, talking to the residents and working the phones that really are helping us.
You know, there's this question out there in a move that mm-hmm. we should take these municipal level elections that we have in standalones mm-hmm. and we should align them with, you know, a larger turnout. Are you in that camp, or do you like that municipal level elections are still the standalone in the first week or so of May?
You know, that's a great question. I think that that's something to put to our voters. I've heard both sides. There's pros and cons to both.
Yeah.
Sometime during a national election, you know, you can get totally forgotten.
Oh, yeah, because you're down ballot.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing a little bit of that right now in terms of the turnout to some of the events. You know, the primaries are over, and I mean, that now we're into the state elections. And a lot of the attention is on the state level offices, mm-hmm. not much local. So we're kind of seeing that get a lot of the attention. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's possible that a municipal election could get overshadowed by a big national push.
Well, you know, we got to do a better job of informing people and, mm-hmm. and inspiring them to get out there. Because like I said, this is the level of governance that touches you. I mean, so many things are decided by one last question.
Yeah.
Do you have the city council there any interaction with the property appraisal office whatsoever?
You know, I don't believe so. Yeah. It's separate. They do their own property appraisals. And that's what you hear from the residents in Frisco. Hey, you dropped my tax rate. Thank you. But my bill's higher.
Yeah.
You hear from everybody. And it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're paying more money, and that's what our residents are saying, listen, if you're dropping, you know, the tax rate, how come my bill gets higher? Well, obviously their valuations mm-hmm. are higher. So, you know, it's good and bad. It's the fact that they're paying more money. The good thing is their property values are increasing. Mm-hmm. So they've got a good investment there. But I do understand the fact that you just can't seem to get your bill down. Now, there is a 65 freeze mm-hmm. on that. Mm-hmm. So it can't go any higher.
Yeah.
It can go lower, but it can also come back up, but it can't go any higher than where you are when you're 65. So I think that along with the homestead exemption really helps.
Well, super. And the schools, because mm-hmm. when you're going out and you're asking people to move into an area, the first question, okay, well, what's the school district like? How are the Frisco schools?
You know, I think all in all, the Frisco schools are good. I think they have their issues. I would say during all of the forums that we have with the school board members, the candidates, I should say, you do hear some of the issues that are going on in the schools with some disciplinary problems, some of the grading procedures. In full disclosure, my daughter did not go to Frisco School. She did 1 year. She went to elementary school here in third grade.
Yeah.
But she went to Legacy Christian Academy.
Okay.
We put her there because I just wanted a Christian faith-based education
for
my daughter. But I think all in all, our schools are good. Mm-hmm. I think people do move to Frisco for, I think one of the reasons they do come here is because the school system's good. Not without problems, like every school system, and they're struggling. It's a big school system, but I think all in all, the school system is good here in the city.
Good relationship with the county commission of Collin County?
You know, I think that some of the relationships that the current leaderships in Frisco have need some work. I gotta be very honest with you. I think they could improve.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I mentioned in the mayor election is that I think our relationship with our local leaders, both Collin and Denton, along with our state reps, could be better.
Okay.
I think we as Frisco need to do a better job at making those relationships better. I think it's on us to do that. And I think there's a lot of room and improvement for people that are leading our council in Frisco to reach out to those leaders and make that stronger.
Because you got to make sure. I always use the analogy of bombers and fighter pilots. I mean, the next highest level of government is supposed to be that fighter escort. And they're supposed to provide you top cover so you can do the best thing that you can in delivering good quality services to your constituents down there.
Yeah, yes, sir. And I believe that. I think there's been some cases where some of those relationships have been strained a little bit. Mm-hmm. And like you say, you need your county commissioners. You need them to have a good relationship. Don't always agree on everything. No one ever does.
Yeah.
Our state level also needs to be strengthened. And I think there's room to do that. I look forward to opportunity to do that, to reach out to these leaders and extend a hand of cooperation and to be colleagues in what we're all trying to do the same thing, you know, for the people that live not only in our cities, but our state and our counties. So we have a common goal.
Good. Well, Mark Pylon, this is what I'm going to do.
Yes, sir.
This last minute and a half is all about you. And this podcast is seen, you know, not just here in Texas, but, you know, all over the country.
Sure.
Tell the audience why city council is so important. Tell the audience what inspired you to want to run for this and why all across America we need to do better and get out and vote for our municipal level elections. The floor is yours.
Well, Curls, like you said earlier, I've had the honor to work for all three levels of government. Obviously local government for over 43 years. I had a lot of experience with the state working with FEMA on urban search and rescue. I was dispatched to many times to Emergency Operations Center at the state levels to work with them during disasters, and of course 16 years working on urban search and rescue with FEMA. But I do think the local level touches people the most. It's something that we can't get a lot of people out sometimes for municipal elections, but those are the people that really impact your life on a tremendous level. And that's what I want to do, is serve on council so that I can listen to you. It's your voice that matters. It's your city. Frisco is your city. It's your voice. Doesn't belong to me. Doesn't belong to that council. It belongs to you. And when you're not being heard, then something needs to change. And that's why I'm running for council. Heard from countless residents that they don't believe their voice is being heard. That's why I'm running. And I want to give you that opportunity. And I want to listen to you and make sure that as Frisco continues and it grows, that it's about you and your family and your public safety and across the board. And that's why I'm running.
And folks, a lot of you are going to come to Frisco to visit the STAR, Dallas Cowboys training facility. You may come to the National Soccer Hall of Fame and maybe see the Dallas soccer team play, or you may come and take in a baseball game there. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of people that come and visit Frisco.
There are.
And like we said, the PGA is going to be coming, as well as a Universal Studios Park. So we want to make sure that we have the best quality people provide you the best quality experience. Mark, where can people find you out there and support you? And the election is on May the 4th.
It is. Early voting started today, the 22nd, goes through the 30th of April, and the election is May 4th.
So it's just around the corner. And how can people follow your website and
support you? They can go to markforfrisco.com, F-O-R, or the number 4 gets you there. Markforfrisco.com is our website. My email is on there as well. If there's something we can answer for you, you can see what our campaign is about, support it. We really appreciate it.
Well, Mark Pyland, put the old colonel down as supporting you and endorsing you.
Thank you.
And please, folks, get out there and vote for this fine gentleman who has already served the city of Frisco as the fire chief. And I think that he can step up and do a great job as a city council member in place number 1 there in the city of Frisco. And folks, if you have enjoyed this podcast, please click that like button and share it with others. And until next time, steadfast and loyal.
Before they burn it down.